Rabbi, who sinned? This man or his parents that he was born blind? Jesus answered, it was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Amen. To the disciples, it just made sense. Surely, somebody did something to cause the Almighty God to take away this man's gift of sight. Who was it, Jesus? The victim? Or was it this man's parents who sinned, and the consequences of their sin have befallen their child? Thinking that somebody sinned and their sin caused God to put upon them a particular punishment like blindness. That's a logical way of thinking. And we might enjoy it a little bit. It might provide a little sense of relief to us. And I say that because of this. If the outward flesh is a mark of how sinful somebody is, then it's not hard to conclude that if my body is in relatively good shape, I'm not as sinful as that person who is suffering from blindness, deafness, or any other disease plaguing humanity. He's blind and I'm not. Well, surely he's more sinful than I. One can find relief in thinking that way. But away with such thinking. God's word is clear to say, all have sinned and fall short his glory. The sickness of sin is a disease infecting all flesh. And all men, all people need a gracious Savior who works to save his people. And so when the disciples conclude in their question that somebody was responsible for this man's blindness, Jesus responds in a way that should put all of our consciences at ease. It was not that this man sinned, or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. Sometimes you got to jump to the end of a text to realize what Jesus means up front. And here it is clear. The works of God are displayed by Christ, who through mud, spit and water give sight to a beggar. Mud, spit, and water. Through these things, Christ heals a blind man. And so the works of God are displayed in a beggar who goes from begging for scraps one minute to seeing the entire created world for the first time in his life the next. But what does this have to do with us? The truth is, God has never stopped working in his creation. And as long as there is light, our Lord Jesus works. He works in his word. A word so powerful that Christ says, those who hear it, upon hearing that word, faith is created. In the waters of baptism, despite what reason may tell you, there Christ promises to work. He is present to put his seal upon you. He washes you, he gives you his name, and calls you his child. In this meal, your Lord works. He works to give you the food that never perishes, his body, his blood for your nourishment, for the forgiveness of your sin. God still works. And he works through means, just like he did through a little mud, a little spit, and some water. God works in and through his creation, and the time is short. The time is short. Our Lord says, night is coming when no one can work. Night is coming when no one can work. There will come a time, Christian, when the work is done. There will be a time when our Lord returns, and when he does, the daylight will end. The time to believe will be spent. So pay attention. Pay attention to your Savior. Take advantage of the gifts that he gives you, because one day our Lord and our God will return. He will say, enough. And when he does, the daylight will be over. The time to believe would have come to an end. Now, I give you that warning. I give you that warning, not just because it's in the text, but because it's easy to lose faith. Faith in Christ is hard in a world, a dark world, plagued by sin. In a world corrupted by sin and Satan, it is hard to see the light of Christ. You know how hard it is. You know how hard it is to live the baptized life when the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. We see in the gospel lesson how hard it was for the Pharisees to acknowledge that before them was not a man, not just some other prophet, but the only begotten Son of God. The Pharisees had a real problem on their hands. If Jesus didn't do the miracle that was made up, and if they could prove that this Jesus really is a fraud, their theological teaching would remain intact. They could go on loving Moses, loving money, oppressing the people. They could go about their merry way, dwelling in their self-righteousness as if this miracle didn't happen. This is why they worked so hard to ascertain whether or not this beggar had been touched by the Almighty Living God. If only they could prove this miracle didn't happen, they would be off the hook. No need to worry. He's nothing. Their cross-examination of the young man reveals their worst fears. They go to this young man who had been healed, and he says to them, he says, if this man were not from God, he could do nothing. And these words cause Jesus' enemies to rage. And upon hearing this confession, they cast the young man out. Here is this man, Jesus, forgiving sins, giving salvation, saying he is the light of the world. How can this be? Seeing they did not see. Hearing they did not hear. They were blind, friends. The Pharisees were blind to who was before them, the Christ, the Messiah, the light of the world. They couldn't see it. And we laugh at the Pharisees, don't we? We laugh at them, we mock them for being so foolish. They miss what is so obvious before them. Trusting in Moses for salvation over and above Jesus, really? It's absurd on a number of levels. To any seasoned Lutheran, the glorious doctrine of justification is one we have heard time and time again. The glorious teaching of the church that simply says, God declares you to be righteous and innocent for the sake of his Son, Jesus Christ. But brothers and sisters in Christ, please do not think you cannot become blind to that doctrine. Please do not think that it is impossible for you to turn away from the Word of God and instead seek something else. The Pharisees were smug. They were prideful. And they thought they couldn't be wrong. But let them be an example. Watch out that your prideful flesh does not overcome what your Lord Jesus has given you. We are in the season of Lent, so pay attention to your Savior. Feed upon his word daily. Pray with your family. Do devotions. Forgive one another as Christ has forgiven you. Do these things because the world is a dark place. It's a dark place. And Satan tries very hard to take away from you the light of Jesus. The light of Jesus. Yes, he still shines, even in this dark, sinful place. No matter how dark, sinister the world may be, your Lord Jesus Christ still shines. And he beckons all men to follow him. In a world where your consciences They become burdened by sin, by guilt, by shame, and we stumble and we fall. But there is a light that shines ever so brightly. Let us learn from the Pharisees. We don't want to fall in their error. Do not present your filthy works before God and expect Him to save you, because they will not. They will not. But friends, I also hope you see and realize that in this text, this very lengthy gospel lesson, we're like the beggar. We're like the beggar who received not just sight, but salvation. We are like this beggar in that we come before God with nothing to give, only to receive. And we are like this beggar in that it is Christ who sees us, Christ who seeks and saves and comes to us to give us His love, His mercy, His righteousness, His salvation. This your Lord does, and He shines doing it. The gospel is light because the gospel is the word of God by which you hear. You hear your dark, deep, secret sins have been put away. The light of Jesus has overcome them. Your sins have been drowned. Your flesh washed in the waters of baptism, because it is there that Christ promises to be present, to wash you, to clothe you, and to feed you the food that never perishes. He is your light, guiding, taking you from this dark world into the light of His eternal presence. And we follow that light by that gift of faith that God gives you. Faith clinging, receiving His mercy, His love, His peace and pardon, His forgiveness. Christian, walk in this light. Walk in His peace. And go joyfully, knowing your Savior Jesus Christ still works. He still works for you, giving you His word, giving you His sacraments. And remember the work He has accomplished, dying and rising to make you His own. Amen.